Hi, my name is Marcy Babbins. I live in Richmond, but originally the whole family is from Montreal, and we followed one member of the family out in the early 80s, and the rest of the family has followed us. So I have two children. They were raised here. One was born in Montreal, but the other was born here, and they were raised and educated in Richmond. And we were very, very involved in the school because we were invited to, and not realizing what the impact was going to be on our lives, being so involved in the school and how positive that was, that when my youngest graduated from elementary school, I got a graduating certificate because I was leaving the school and didn't realize what a void that was going to leave in my life, being so involved in the parent committee. I think it's really important to be involved in some way in your kid's school, but without being overbearing, but that they know that there's this quiet presence in the background. But that's when I went back to work, and I started work very, very part-time at a small historical nonprofit in Vancouver. One of their main archival projects is oral history, so I understand the importance of telling your story and how intimidating it can be. And that was supposed to be a part-time job, and it's been 25 years now that I've been there. The benefit of working for a historical society and not being from Vancouver, BC, is learning about Vancouver and BC and Richmond and the history of the province because I had to, and then appreciating what it is, how different it is from Quebec, and the reasons why, and working in the cultural sector, realizing the importance of understanding of cultural differences, how we're the same but so different, and the respect for each other. So that's what I got from work, and that's what I got from school also. All of a sudden, just being thrown into a community of 300 or 400 or 500 families was make or break, kind of learn the differences and work within it to respect everybody. So working in the school was very impactful. And the next thing that I got involved with, when my father-in-law moved here, he joined the Richmond Marine Rescue Society. For anybody who doesn't know about that, it is almost like police or and or ambulance services on the water. Being in Richmond, you know how much water surrounds you and how important it is to know about boating safety and how very few people do and what to do with the currents that we have around here also and how dangerous they can be. So he got involved at the crew level with the station. And then, because of my bookkeeping experience, I was sought after to become their treasurer and work with them for about 10 years and learning all about that aspect of Richmond and how much water we have and how important it is to keep everybody safe. And it felt great because I was out of the school system already. The kids had graduated, even high school, to get back to the community again. And 10 years was enough to do that. And it was very, very difficult to retire from that board. But the quiet impact that they have on the community is immense. So that was another way that Richmond, who knew when you moved here, that these two different entities, the school system and the marine rescue system, were going to have such impact on my life, in addition to working in the cultural sector. What was really interesting that nobody really expected was how the whole family was going to migrate across Canada to stay together. I was like, first it was my in-laws, and then it was myself and my husband, and then it was my sister and her husband, and then it was my parents because the grandchildren came along. So the family kind of, and you see this within families, how they migrate and try to stay together if they can. And Montreal isn't home anymore. This is home, and it's taken decades to not call Montreal home anymore. So my family has always been very active. When we were in Montreal, it was take the children out of ballet because we can't do that as a family. We're going to go skiing. And in Montreal, it's very much closer than it is from Richmond, say, to Whistler. But within 45 minutes, there were ski hills. And we grew up as a family skiing in the wintertime, and we went camping in the summer. You will absolutely never get me camping ever, ever again. That's not anything. I don't feel it's civilized to sleep like that or to have creepy crawlies around anymore. I can't believe I tolerated that as a child. And I'm past skiing now. Skiing was a lot of fun when I was younger and didn't realize how catastrophic a tumble down a ski hill might be. It never happened to me, but I skied up until the evolution of snowboarders and just found them absolutely terrifying to share a ski hill with. They were very quiet, they came up very quickly, and they didn't have the etiquette of alpine skiing. So it was time to hang up the skis. Being in Richmond all year round, it's really easy to cycle. And I commute into the Oak Ridge area by bike probably 6 or 8 months of the year. It's a great workout going uphill into Oak Ridge. It takes me longer to get to work than it does to come home, because coming home is downhill. And I have the use of the building, so I can wash up easily before work starts. So I get a workout, I get fresh air, I get to not talk to people, I get to not deal with traffic, I get to be in my own head to cycle and then tackle the work day. So it's a win-win-win. Being in Richmond, learning how to cycle in Richmond is very challenging, even though it's flat. It's challenging because of the wind, and you feel, oh God, there's no way I'd ever be able to cycle into Vancouver with all the hills, not realizing that the wind is really hard on your legs, like really, really hard on your legs. And it's absolutely great training. The cycling paths in Richmond are beautiful. I'm part of Hub and we advocate for cycling. And the trail markers all around the Lower Mainland are absolutely fantastic. And I would prefer to be on a bike than in a car, and the family knows that whenever possible. I will meet them wherever we are, wherever we go, Spanish Banks or English Bay or Gary Point. It doesn't really matter. So cycling has become the biggest hobby or lifestyle change that I've had in my mid-adult years, soon to be senior years, and I hope to be able to cycle for many, many, many more years. The family has always had some sort of outlet, crafting hobby type outlet. My mother sewed and knitted. Now she can't anymore with arthritis, but I've taken that on, and afghans or baby blankets or adult size blankets are made for special people in the family, and they are distributed. They're all over the world. Baby, a wedding, whatever life cycle event will get an afghan. Or because my mother sewed, I learned how to sew and made all of my clothes when I was a teenager, mostly because we couldn't afford the special outfit. You want a new skirt? Well, you're not going to buy it. You're going to make it. It costs a lot less and it can be tailored. So I decided once I wasn't sewing clothes anymore that I would personalize a towel, cut out letters on a piece of fabric of your name or something that you like, something that was for you. So like for me, it would be my name in Marcy. Maybe I'd cut out a bicycle and I would glue it onto a towel and then use a really, really, really tight zigzag stitch to outline it. It would usually be in the colors that you like, or if you had a theme to your bathroom or a special interest. And those towels, there's probably 200 or 300 of them that have been made through my lifetime. That idea came to us when my daughter was 2 and she was given a gift with her name applique on a towel, and I looked at it and went, I can do this. This is an excellent idea, but I'll do it a little differently, and this is the tools that I'll use and the type of glue that I'll use and the type of thread that I'll use. And we have not bought a birth gift or a wedding gift or a retirement gift or christening or bar mitzvah or graduation gift for as long as we're married, between the knitting, the afghans, and the sewing, the personalized. My husband's very grateful that I have something that'll keep my mind busy and my hands busy, that's personalized from the family to whoever it is that we're giving it. And again, these towels are worldwide. Sometimes I've traded. A cousin of mine in Germany wanted 4 towels. I said, I'll give you 4 towels. You send me Birkenstocks. Here's an outline of my foot. Buy whatever you want. Unfortunately, the children are not interested, right? Maybe in time. They're still a little bit young. It does take a skill, but they love their towels and they love their blankets. And now that my mother isn't knitting any longer, it's like, okay, this cousin is getting married. I could have made them a blanket, but I can't knit anymore. So I will buy the yarn if you will do the work and we'll both sign the card. I'm like, sure, fine, fantastic. So it's busy work, but I'm not really into television. I'm too tired at the end of the night, and this will keep me awake a little bit longer. So my mother did the knitting and the sewing, which I adopted. My father worked in stained glass, and that was, he was probably 40 when he decided he wanted to have a hobby, and he was very disappointed that none of us learned how to do that. And his stained glass work is, there's a light in Paris, and there's a lamp in Germany, and there's stained glass doors in California at my sister's house, and lamps all over the world, and little night lights. And that was his gift to babies that were born in the family. They're treasures of the family. And we all, since my parents have downsized their homes and my father has since passed away, we all have pieces. And it's more important to get these handmade pieces than a platter or a teapot, really, for us. For the family. So in our family, what we do, and my kids have started it with us as well, is when there's something in a family member's house that at some point in time in the future you would like to own, it's kind of like a reverse will. It's like, I will tell you, I really like that shirt. I want it when you're done. And post-it notes are put all throughout the house underneath something. And my parents started this, and when we were breaking down my mother's apartment and we were packing up some stuff, I saw that my name was underneath wrought iron handmade candlesticks a family friend made, and went, those are really gorgeous. And my mother's thrilled that she knows certain pieces that she has are really, really wanted by her children and grandchildren. So we're packing up these candlesticks, and my name is in the bottom of one of them, and my sister's name is on the bottom of the other one. And it's like, what do we do? Do we share the candlesticks? Do we each take one? And right now, because Joanne lives in California and I live here and I packed up the house, I have the candlesticks. Anyways, that's just a story of how our family behaves. And in sharing the stories, other families here and even some of our other family left in Montreal is like that's a really good idea. Of it's not just about the person who is deciding where their belongings might go after they pass away or when they downsize. It's getting the family involved to celebrate the things that you do have now. And sometimes you want to divest something earlier. And it's like, here, take this. I know you enjoy it.